the stone kingdom. I want to talk about it this evening because, you see, in the Hebrew language, numerics plays a great part, especially when you begin to work with the Masorah and the original footnotes. And I'm going to bring just a little bit of biblical numerics into this lecture this evening. It's going to be concentrating on the number 5. Now, let's talk about 5 a moment so that you see the beauty of it. 5 is kind of God's plan. First of all, 1, 2, 3 is the Godhead. All right? That's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. 4, then, is creation, or earth. It's God's handiwork. And then 5, of course, is redemption, which comes into play on grace. And it has many faces, really. To someone that is suffering, grace turns into compassion. And grace for those that overcome is God's joy in giving grace. So there are many emotions directly from the Father to you. Why do I want to talk about the stone kingdom? Because it's the 5th kingdom. Now, what do we have again? We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, creation, and redemption, grace. That's 5 in biblical numerics. How many stones did David pick up when Israel was held at bay? I mean, the army was frightened. And the Philistines and that giant came out every day. Boom, boom. Send out a professional, send out a man. And little David went out. But how many stones did he pick up? 5. Did he need 5? No. He only needed 1, redemption, grace. He didn't need 4, the number of earth. He didn't need anything from this earth. Redemption from God was sufficient. And what did he accomplish with that 5th stone? He slew the beast. And this David, who would be the father of his own Lord, would be he that would slay, if you would, the spurious Messiah, Satan, as it is written in 2 chapter of Hebrews, verse 14. It is written there, Christ came to this earth to die on the cross, whereby in doing so he could destroy death, which is to say Satan. That stone, that 5th stone, shall be cast. And Satan shall die. He's already been sentenced. So 5 becomes very important to us, especially in this generation where we have the 5th trump, the 5th seal, and we have the 5th plague, or vial, whichever you prefer to call it. All of them redemption, and quite frankly, friend, that's where you're sitting now. You're sitting in number 5. So we're going to cover number 5 tonight. All 3 of those. Let's look for a moment. What did Paul say in Corinthians? I would rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 that are not understood. 5. Let's, if we may, to establish ourselves, open your Bibles, if you would, a moment to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Let's establish the 5th kingdom. And we're going to pick it up at the 4th because you all remember the great beast with the head of gold, so forth and so forth, top heavy all the way down. And we're going to pick it up at the 4th beast for the sake of time. Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. And we're going to begin with this 4th kingdom. And the 4th kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, iron and clay won't mix. See? That's fragile. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Here we have the fourth. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Just won't happen. As God's creation is such, it just won't gel. In other words, solidify. 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. How long is that? That means the fifth is here to stay. And so it is. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kings, and it shall stand forever. Naturally, that happens ultimately at the second advent. Verse 45, listen carefully. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. So, that stone cut out without hands. That stone, all five of them that little David picked up, he picked them up in a stream bed that had not been rounded by human hands, but were formed by God in the natural order of things. And as sure as little David cast that stone from that sling and hit that spot right in the forehead, so shall God's elect destroy Christ using them. The prior kingdoms that are being established even at this day, called the one world system. You hear of it on your radios and televisions and newscasts as the new world order. Sounds good, doesn't it? Most people say, won't that be wonderful? Well, it will. It means it's that prophecy is fulfilled, basically, or is being fulfilled, and we're moving closer. Now, God just really loves that fifth kingdom of stone. And of course, that stone is the rock, and that rock is Christ. Our Father has a perfect plan in numerics from the very beginning. There was a man named Abram. And I couldn't get a big enough blackboard that you could do it justice there from the back, so you'll just have to follow me, all right? You're enough of a student, you won't have any problem. His name was Abram. A-B-R-A-H. No, not H. And I'll tell you why. A-M. But God, before He would covenant, put an H in Abram and made it Abraham. Now, as you well know, in the Hebrew language, there are no numbers, but the letters themselves become numbers. That's the way you count. So, what letter did he add? Hey. The word hey, which is the fifth letter, meaning it means five. He added five to Abram's name. And then to be translated rather than transliterated, Abraham means the father of many nations. Supposedly a blessing to all peoples. So there again, we have that fifth, the stone kingdom, showing up in the very covenant itself. Sarai would have, hey, Sarah, added. Amazing how perfect the plan of God is when we read the manuscripts, when we observe, when we see, and when we witness. Was David frightened that day? He was a human being. But he was a shepherd boy that had been out in the wild and had faced lions one-on-one. That boy had faith. He knew God had a purpose for him, and he knew God would show him through. God accomplished it for him, and he knew God would not let him down. Do you have that faith today? I hope you do. I hope you know that as long as you use common sense and that as long as you do your best, you're a winner. Again, as I stated this morning, a can-do type person. Boy, that's my kind of people. Because can-do people don't just talk. You're looking at people of action. We get it done. Why? God intends. He has a plan. And that plan must come to pass. Now, I can think of other times that five is utilized within this. Let's go to Leviticus a moment. Let's go to Leviticus 26. Just laying a little groundwork before we get to the fifth seal and so forth. Leviticus 26. We'll start reading here in a moment about verse 7. It is amazing to me as a student of God's Word that many higher critics, and I don't have to tell you what my opinion is of the higher critics. Higher critics are people that make their income trying to destroy the Word of God by appearing to be wise. Okay? They want to do away with the book of Deuteronomy. What book is the book of Deuteronomy? The fifth. The fifth book. And answer me this. When Christ was in the wilderness 40 days hungering, and Satan came tempting him, what book did Christ quote? Deuteronomy, the fifth book. What does that say to you about the higher critics? That Christ is crazy? That he's quoting from a book that shouldn't be part of God's Word? I think not. So I have chosen words for the higher critics that are not allowed to be spoken in mixed company. So God's Word is so simple, so pure, when we let it flow. The fifth book, of course, belongs in our Father's Word. Verse 7, Leviticus 26. And ye shall chase your enemies. Let that sink in. Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. What is your sword? And five of you, I want to say that one more time, and five of you shall chase an hundred, and an hundred of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. You're surely not afraid. Now, sometimes in reading, we kind of grab at the main highlights and skip over some of the more important points. Because, how can I attack this? I'll say it this way. If it weren't five of you, would that happen? And when I say of you, I'm talking about God's elect. He very specifically stated, of you. Not somebody else, not somebody that isn't God's champion, that is to say that's biblically illiterate and wouldn't know a five from a four, and two always comes up six for them, or maybe minus three, the way they do business. Five of you. Why? Five. Father, Son, the Spirit, the creation and redemption. God in control. That's why. And if you were to continue on, if you were to go to the Song of Moses, which all of you are familiar with, I'm sure, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, back to that good fifth book, it says there, if they had known, one would put 1,000 to flight. One of you. What's holding you back? I know you. There's nothing holding you all back. We're ready, all right? And I'll tell you something, they're scared. We're making an impact. We are making an impact. God is making an impact in this end generation. He's getting people's attention into the deeper meanings of His trumpet, His voice, whereby people learn what trumpet they're listening for. A trumpet to a soldier is execution of a command. God's word, the trumpet, is execution of a command. It means you're supposed to be a doer, not just a hearer. How perfect God's word. So He promises these things concerning that fifth kingdom. I call it the stone kingdom, the eternal kingdom. And that stone is Christ. All right? With that having been said, we're going to go to the book of Revelation. We're going to go first to the fifth seal. And you find that, of course, in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We're going to pick it up about verse 9. And you remember that the seals are not given in chronological order as far as the actual happenings of events, but are placed together to give you basically laying groundwork whereby you understand the seals. Now the trumpets, it's different. The trumpets, being the executor of action, they are exactly in chronological order as events shall come to pass, already are, and always will. But this is the seal wherein you're at now. Verse 9 of chapter 6, and it reads, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, that's the number we're working with here, or at my house, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." I really find it hard how that some people can teach people are out here in a hole in the ground and claim to serve a living God and the God of the living. They're not there. They're under an empty altar. Those that were slain for God. Well, name me a few. And people get real uptight here. You know, you see blood and you go, oh, blood. Well, it's a good thing the Christians in the Roman Colosseums did not dread the sight of blood. I'm sure they did. And many of them died there. And the apostles, they faced danger every day. Peter, Paul faced danger every day. He says in one book, "I really didn't think we were going to make it through. But God pulled us through." So, we see within this that many are at the altar that have already given their flesh bodies, not their souls, but their flesh bodies for the service of the King. Now, does He expect you to do that today? No. That's not the war we're about here. We're in a spiritual war, and Satan is coming as the false Christ. And as a priest, you're supposed to denounce him. And when somebody takes on the role of preacher, they have to leave the report that they never hurt anyone. Just really love the people. All right, that will be his method, his MO, his operation. 10. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, Lord, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And God is a God of vengeance. They had every right for asking for that vengeance to be removed or placed upon them. Well, there are no hidden or unsolved mysteries with God. They're all in the book. And those that took advantage of them are already being accounted for and with on the opposite side of the gulf. But this gives you a little chronology here, 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them. How would they deserve white robes? You that have studied with me, I hope you know why. Because righteous acts make up the white linen that your robe is made from. In other words, they had enough righteous acts, they proved themselves, to deserve those white robes. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And of course we know from our Father's word that there are two witnesses that are going to die in that same city. We mentioned it this morning. For that witness, Satan will order their death. But you know from Revelation chapter 9 what will happen to Satan when he gives that command. And you will know why that 3 days are very important. Because God said you can go down there and sting those that don't have the seal of God in their forehead. What's the seal of God? His trumpet. That simply means His truth absorbed in your brain. That you're not biblically illiterate. That you understand your Father and love Him enough that you absorb His Word. Now, so those two shall be killed. And they're, you know who would most, the most danger to other people will not be from the spurious Messiah. It will be from various denominations and other people that are trying to convert you to their church. And their church has found a new leader. Those people can be dangerous. But we don't have to worry about it. But here we see ourselves. God says, your fellow servants must accomplish what must be accomplished. And that is to say, our Father's word must cover the earth. Don't worry. When the witnesses speak and the Spirit speaks through, the true word is heavy. The true word gets said by the Father Himself. He doesn't need too much help, but He uses His children to accomplish that. So there we have the fifth, and I can guarantee you, don't ask me to document it, I can guarantee you, you are in that seal. That's straight from the Father. All right? That's where you are. Now, of course, you know from last year's Passover, instead of doing 3 fives, we did 3 sixes. The sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth plague. That's 666. What happens in each of the six? Satan appears as Messiah. So you're right at that step. You're right at that door. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. We're going to go to the fifth trump. Somebody had asked a question about the three woe trumps. Well, this is one of them. Now, lest I confuse someone, much is said in the fifth trump, but most of it is preparation for the sixth, letting you know when the sixth sounds what the command for both the negative and the positive are, what they're going to do. Now, does that mean that they de facto come into existence at this time? Well, in a sense, they're building. But it hasn't quite got there until the sixth trump. All right? So let's go with the fifth. Absorb it. Preparation. Knowledge you're supposed to have up here. Verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. And as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now listen to me closely. Up the first, second, third, and the fourth trumps are not ordered to do anything against man. They are ordered to touch the earth, the vegetation, the sea, and even the netherworld, if you would, but not to hurt man. This fifth trump is addressed to men. Men are going to start getting hurt here. That's important to you today, because that's where you are. I'm going to say it again. The first four trumps were to alter the earth, addressed, prophesied against the earth or creation itself. Not until the fifth trump is the prophecy against man. And then it's only against knuckleheads. It's only against people that haven't got the seal of God in their forehead, or that is to say, they don't know from come here to come sick 'em about God's Word, because they are too busy. It's not that important anyway. They deal with the richest thing they have, their eternal life, and honestly feel within themselves, though they're possibly ignorant of it, that it's the most important thing in the world to them if they expect to have any wisdom, blessings, peace of mind. So we have the fifth is when God begins to get down to business. All right, I just wanted to make that point real clear to you. This is the first time the bite is taken out of the biblically illiterate. 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power over the, as scorpions of the earth have power. Now you all know what kind of power the scorpion has. It has no stomach. And God created the little thing. It's a little stinger. Not a popular thing if you're climbing mountains and not trained to not be, watch where you put your hands in cracks, you know, as you're climbing, because they like to rest there. But they don't have a stomach. And when they bite, when they take a victim, they take their little stinger and reach over and pop the little sucker. And then they got little pinchers on their mouth that they pull that victim up to their mouth, regurgitate their digestive juices into it, and the skin becomes the wall of its stomach, and then it absorbs, and their backbone with those juices turns to mush, and that's the whole point. Their skeletal form turns to mush. That's what's going to happen to people. And quite frankly, anyone that is biblically illiterate, they are mush. They haven't got enough boldness to stand up and say, "No! My Father is with me." They're running scared. They may not admit it, but they are running scared today because they know something is in the air and they don't know what it is. You want to thank God if He begins to open your eyes and give you an interest into His Word, whereby you can take the simple creatures that God created to use as an example and see what's happening in the world today in this fifth trump. Verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should... Now, this is the locust. You know what locusts eat and scorpions. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Well, that's what locusts live on in part. Neither any green thing. Whew. That's not natural. Neither any tree, but only those men which the seal of God in their forehead, that is to say, people who are biblically illiterate. For one, whatever reason, it doesn't matter. Whether it's laziness, whether they just are too busy, The ultimate thing is they do not love God, the Creator of all things. And hey, you know what? God's going to get rid of them if they don't change. But they will have an opportunity before God will condemn them to what is known as the blotting out. They just never existed. That's what blot out means. So we see that for the first trump, it's addressed to men. What men? You? No, God's already promised you that you don't have to be afraid of anything. He's not angry at you if you love Him, if you listen to His voice, if you study His Word, if you don't hang out with the traditions of men, in other words, count on every word some man says rather than get into the Word of God and decide for yourself. God likes people that think for themselves. You know how you can tell a cult? A cult spoon feeds you, will not let you ask questions, but will tell you you have to believe to be a member of what they put out. And they don't want you to think for yourself. Beware people like that. Unfortunately, there are denominational churches that are very bad about that sort of thing, and it disappoints me greatly that they cannot open themselves to a congregation, to questions and discussions as a body anymore. Quite frankly, it would scare some of those pastors, it would scare the britches off of them if they had to get before their congregation and open themselves up to questions. I don't know why it's such an embarrassment to say, hey, I don't know. It doesn't bother me to say that. If I don't know something, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. And it does happen. But there's no great embarrassment in that. You don't have to be embarrassed if you don't know if you're discussing God's Word. You're about to learn something. That's what it means. Okay. So we see then that God is not happy with these people. As a matter of fact, He turns the Kenite, which in fact makes up the locust army in part, loose on mankind like it's never been loosed before. You been noticing anything lately? Been watching the New World Order? Been watching people get stung a little bit? It's happening, friend. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death. I'm sorry, 5. I'm about to miss the fifth one, and 5 is what we're studying here. All right. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. That's why there's not going to be all that much killing. They cannot kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Thus the analogy that I forementioned, whereby you know how Satan works on people. He's going to bite them and pump them full with his little ministers. And thus Jesus would say in Mark 13, in the first warning, many will come in my name. Many will come to you saying, I be Christian. I'm a preacher. Yes, yes, yes. I work one day a week, Sunday. And I might even come around and look at you when you're sick and say, oh, you poor, poor. Yeah. Boy, I wish you all would give me a schedule like that. I have to do 1 hour live every day and then still teach on weekends. What kind of people are you anyway? Boy, they got it made, friends. Looks like they would have time to study God's Word instead of being a one-verse Charlie a lot of times, doesn't it? It's a shame. It's a disgrace. Any house that God's Word is not taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse is not a house of God. It's a playhouse. It's a mockery. And the people are being robbed of the very thing that keeps the scorpion army out of their heads. How can they? I don't think I would want to survive in this world without knowledge, without understanding what was happening in this world. So you see, my dear friends, this fifth trumpet, you can look at it in a considerably different light because it begins to sting. And it's just getting started. Praise God. All right, verse 6. And in those days, well, you know the 5 months. That's the time that the locust, when he's in this form, comes out May through September. Now, Christ told you that the tribulation would be shortened from 3.5 years to 5 months. Okay? And that's May through September. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. When some of these people, you know, they're well-meaning. Well, let's analyze. You know people like I do. I mean, it's the common thing, you know. First off, to make it, let's say, in a big church, you got to talk to God. I talked to God today. He told me to change from Oxydol to Quick Trip brand. You know, I was worried, and I went out to the woods, and I said, God, and He spoke to me, and He told me to change brands of ice cream. Hey, if you're not smart enough to know what soap to use and what ice cream that you like, you're not smart enough to serve God. In other words, they do this to play one-upmanship with each other. They're not trying to impress you. They're trying to impress other preachers as well. And that's why they don't want you to approach too close and questioning, because they would say, God talks to me and you just wouldn't understand. Just wouldn't. So, hey, if they can get away with it, and the majority are doing it, then the majority's got to be right. Then we should all be one verse Charlies. Okay, why not? I mean, you know people. If they can get away with it, they will, right? You better believe it. They're going to do as little as they can unless they are God-led. I was only kidding about having to work every day with a live broadcast, because I get a week off to go fly, climbing mountains, doing documentaries, checking ancient history, getting my batteries recharged, and so I enjoy that schedule. I enjoy teaching God's Word. And I wouldn't mind if all of them matched up with me. I've taught 45 years and I've never taken a dime salary. I'd like to, you know, start that with them and see how quick they, when they didn't have a payday, of how quick they loved and were dedicated to teaching God's Word. That might separate some of the men from the boys, you know. But why am I getting off on this? I don't know. We don't care about them anyway, do we? The scorpions are going to take care of them. But just doesn't matter. That makes me appreciate you people all the more, that you are can-do type people and you care about our Father's emotions. But this is why they're going to pray for death when they recognize this day. Because in their hearts, they really love Jesus. They mean well. And when they find out that they were deceived and were teaching Satan as Christ rather than the true Christ simply because they hadn't studied God's Word, I wouldn't want to face Him either. I would want to just be blotted out. But He's going to raise them up, and you are too. Get up from there. God's not a God of hate to those that have been deceived. He loves you. Get up, and every knee will bow to Christ on that first day of the millennium. Verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. In other words, they're royalty. There are going to be 10 of those crowns. You know about them. And their faces were as the faces of men. In other words, they're not locusts. They're beings. They're the new world order in motion. And they had hair as the hair of women. In other words, they were seen so gentle. My brother so-and-so just packed such a wonderful, thrilling, I just feel good about his speech. Just makes me feel good all over. Because women are gentle and men aren't usually, okay? Some of us are, but and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. It means Not like a dog that will simply cut off the vascular system and strangle by cutting off the blood supply, but a lion that rips and tears and destroys. It's going to just rip the heart right out of them. And they had breastplates as if it were breastplates of iron. Not the beautiful stone breastplate of a true priest, you, with the gems of truth on your breast. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. It's not going to be just a few. It's going to be the majority. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and with their stings in their tails, they and their power was to hurt men. Not flowers, not rivers, to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, if we were to have a quiz right now, how many of you know who the angel of the bottomless pit is? I mean, you know, oh, well, let's ask, could it be somebody that Satan slips his little spirit into? It's not an angel. You may think you're an angel, but it's not an angel. It is Satan, right? That's one of his names. Whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, the destroyer. It's Satan. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, which is part of the prime root for Satan. It is the devil. The devil's in charge. Why? Michael's going to boot him out of heaven and it's done. Now, next line, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And there are. You got the sixth and the seventh. You found out last year what happens on the sixth. This goes into operation in its fullest strength. So you're in between, my friend. And there are a lot of people beginning to be stung. Be alert this year. Be watchful this year. You watch business from around the world. It is no great mystery to one that is informed why that the dollar is going down here and other things are going up here, and why do other nations get shook when our dollar does this or that? Because we have a one world economy. It's already de facto. After NAFTA, you know what happened in this hemisphere. All tied together. And they sweat. Don't worry. There's not going to be a crash. It's real easy to take the paper and write another 10 trillion. Because that's all it is paper anyway. But you're never going to know that because it's hidden from you. You see, the Federal Reserve Bank. Well, that's the United States of America Federal Reserve Bank. We don't own it. Civilians own it. Doesn't have anything to do with our government. It simply tells our government what they can or can't do and what interest rates are, and even print by contract, you know, or allow our contract for our money to be printed. You call that freedom? Think about it. The sting, the little stinger is out, friend. Be careful this year. You're in the fifth trump. And people don't know it. It's sad. It is really sad. That leaves us one more. It's the sixth vial. And what does this have to do with the fifth kingdom? Because God told the devil, you go down there, but don't you touch mine anointed. That's why, like one young man asked me, are you afraid Satan's going to kick you off the air? He ain't doing the kicking, I am, all right, with God's help. All right? Now, well, you mean you would be a physical match for him? No, mental. We're supposed to be wiser than he is. And that's this great nation, America, has laws, and as long as we obey those laws, our license are safe, and this government, if it took the reserves, they've got to protect that right of its citizens. That's using your old foot, friend. Okay? Satan doesn't. I'm not afraid of Satan. Because he can't touch us when we move to this point unless you let him. What does that mean? By you getting stupid every once in a while, like all of us do when we look the other way. Maybe it's something like, oh, I hit the jackpot today. I just feel like I'm on cloud nine. I've got it made. God's blessing me. And down below you hear, ripa, 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 ripa. Satan's already, you're at your weakest point right there. It's always been that way. That's why the word Jeshurun in the Hebrew, it means fat financially and well off and not a care in the world. I'm going fishing today. I get my speedboat out and speed, you know. Just don't have time for God today. And there they go. Satan's got them, you know. Probably the first time that he gets down around the corner, something will distract him more, you know, or whatever. Be careful. Be alert. It's only at bad moments that Satan slips up on us. Now, you beginning to understand why David could use that fifth stone? Because it's God's promise that one can put 10,000 to flight. 10,000. That one. That little boy did it. He's your proof. And I'm going to tell you something. It is amazing at the voice and the platform that God has given this ministry because of you. We go into over 100 million homes daily, and many of them 3, 4, 5 hours a day on major stations in all the major markets, and have a 12-year contract with Hughes on one of the hottest birds up there. Not the little dish, but the old Westar 4, which is what? Galaxy 4 now. We have a 12-year contract, loaded and locked. And you, if we should ever disappear off of your local stations or anything, get a dish. We ain't going nowhere. We're going to be right there. Got that old hangar out there in the sky, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're not scrambled. God has given us that platform. And it is very secure. Now, many of you, I might just mention this at this time. It helps you from getting stung, is fellowship one with the other. You don't have to have the descrambler and all that hoopla on C-band to receive us. Frank Riggenhagen, who handles our computer programs, has a unit he's put together. It doesn't have anything to do with Shepherd's Chapel. But if you ever get cut off, I think it's somewhere in the range of $500, and you've got Shepherd's Chapel 24 hours a day and in a lot better picture than you're going to get off of a local station. Just throwing that out for good measure. You've got to talk to him about it. But we are in good shape. Why? Because God gives us the power, the authority to use. Now, what is power and what is authority unless it's initiated? It's not power and it's not authority. It's just like a man and his wife. If he doesn't stand up a little bit every once in a while, he has no authority whatsoever. You're awake, right? Okay. I'm glad that we men are the head of the house. Oh, hey, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Don't ever forget it. Oh, Boy, am I digressing, huh? This is a really serious prophetic message, but it's natural, and that's what God wants. That's the way He wants you to look at it. But think about little old David for a moment. He was a doer. Authority is not authority unless you stand up. You know about Elijah? Do you think God told him? No. Elijah read a prophecy and went out and dared believe. And it was true. So you have to dare to, if God made a promise, do it. Use common sense. Don't turn into some religious fanatic and end up being a nut that squirrels chase. Okay? And if you stay within God's Word, you don't ever have to worry about that. But I love what God has done for us. It's power. Media is power. And do you know something? We are making a difference. I'm sure many of you have noticed it. It was strange 13 or 14 years ago, and here I go digressing again, that we always pulled, when we only had cameras for sick shut-ins and shut-ups too, we brought the scriptures always on the screen because to me that's where the power is. Have you noticed lately how many other people have begun to put the scriptures up on the bottom of the screen? Ray Cassis told me, he said, that is unique. That's strange that you have the Word right on the screen. That's what we're about, is the Word, you see. But we are making a difference. God is making a difference. And that's beautiful. It's beautiful when you know that if you take advantage of the promises of God and act on them, that He allows you to be the victor. Now, let's go, if we may, to the 16th chapter, and we're going to close this out. And we're going to take the fifth vial, all right, the one that's poured out. And perhaps you can see yourself within this, if you like, okay? Chapter 16, verse 10. And the fifth angel, there's that number five again, okay, poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. It's about all it says. Do you know what that word seat is in the Greek? It is thronos. I mean, it sounds a lot like one English word, doesn't it? Thronos. It's throne. Satan's throne. Who's going to pour out something directly on his seat? Who's going to mess up his power? We had a question asked, why would nations attack a country that harbored people that would say things against the throne of the spurious Messiah? It's not hard to understand. Who's going to pour that out? The trumpet of God. As those trumpets sound, that word is going to hit that seat of Satan. It's going to hit him not only in the forehead, but in the seat. His throne. And I'm sure that every one of you have a throne, right? And you know to be unseated from your throne can be very bad at times, all right? Well, we're going to make it bad for him all the time, all right? We're going to pour directly on to his throne, all right? We're going to cause him all the displeasure that we can and that we have the authority to do. Why? Because we are in that fifth one, and we are can-do type people, and bless your hearts, listen, we're doing it. We as a family, we're hurting him a great deal. Boy, how he hates the Word of God. How he hates it. Let me tell you something. Last Passover, we had 666. Well, we got three fives now, right? The fifth seal, the fifth trump, and the fifth vial. That's 15. Three fives. How do you write 15 in Hebrew? Well, let me see. That's Yod is 10, and He is 5. Yod is Y, and 5 is H. Is He, okay? Which is to say, and I'm thinking in one language and speaking in another. Did you catch me on that? Now let me get it all back where I'll do it right. Y is Yod, and naturally H is H. YH is what? It's Yahweh. It's Yah. YAH is 15. There's your three fives. You're in it. You're in Arkansas. There's a lot of rocks here. Okay? A lot of rocks. Spiritual rocks is what I'm talking about. Okay? What a time to live, beloved. I tell you this, our Father is smiling today. Our Father is happy today. Because there are some. Not many compared to the magnitudes. But what power, authority, and what a platform He has made available for such a small group. Does that frighten you? Don't let it. Let me see, how many are here this time? 1,500, and each one can put 10,000 to flight. Whew. Boy, that's a lot of people. Okay. I jest, but spiritually it's true. Be confident. Be confident within yourself. Do not be afraid to take hold of authority from our Father's Word. By that I mean, when you see a promise, claim it. It's yours, and it makes His day to give it to you. He gives it to you after you earn it. And many of you have earned it because of your faith, your belief. You're not biblically illiterate. Praise God for that. That's what makes you different, is you love our Father enough to believe and to care about His Word, His prophecies, and how simple He makes the future. When all you have to understand is a little old scorpion or a locust. It's all it takes. You know, anybody should be able to do that. But some people make it so complicated. But be that as it may, three fives, Yah, our Father's sacred name. How precious. You're in that time. And hey, I must say, you're doing a great job. Watch this year. Observe the fifth as it builds to the sixth. Two woes to go, not very far. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your written Word. We thank You for Your spoken Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for being our Father. We thank You for the Son. We thank You for the Spirit. We thank You for the creation. We thank You for the redemption, which is the grace that gives us Your knowledge, wisdom, unmerited favor, favor that perhaps we don't deserve, but for daring to believe that favor is given. We thank You for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.